Welcome back to The Green on Delaware Public Media. I'm your host, Tom Byrne. Early intervention for developmental delays like autism can make a huge difference in health outcomes later in life. But it's difficult to diagnose those delays early during crucial child development years. Michelle Lobo, a University of Delaware associate professor and pediatric physical therapist, is working to change that by creating a new smart baby monitor that helps spot delays earlier in childhood. Delaware Public Media's Joey Irizarry talks with Lobo this week about the smart baby monitor and the importance of detecting developmental delays early.
You're working on this smart baby monitor that could make a big difference in how and when we're able to identify development delays in young children. Can you define developmental delays for us in this context and break down what some of the primary types of developmental delays are?
Sure. So there are developmental delays when somebody is not meeting their milestones on time. And this could be their movement, their thinking, their language milestones. So it could be in any of those areas. It could be related to a medical history problem, like maybe preterm birth or low birth weight, or a diagnosis like Down syndrome. But sometimes kids have developmental delay and they have none of those factors in their history. They were typically born healthy, and then all of a sudden they develop a delay for some reason that we don't know. And one thing that we do know is the number of kids with delays is increasing in the U.S. across time. So there are a number of risk factors for it, but it's very hard to predict who is going to have a delay. So that is the definition of developmental delay. The challenge we have is that it's really difficult to identify, especially in the first couple of years of life, because what we do is we look at when you meet milestones. And you might meet a milestone at 6 months, like walking, and you might meet the walking milestone at 18 months, and that's all typical. So you have to look at these bigger pictures of what kids are doing every day to figure out if they have a delay. It can get very, very tricky.
Why are the number of children with developmental delays, why is that rising?
So we don't exactly know, but there are factors like environmental factors, pollution, during pregnancy, if you're exposed to different types of inflammation due to viruses or illness, environmental factors, genetic factors, there are all kinds of factors, poverty and your environmental experiences, your everyday experiences are a risk factor, plus brain injury around birth or, you know, other problems that happen around birth, C-section delivery. We have all these risk factors. And so it's not an easy to understand problem. So we do have some efforts like the March of Dimes is trying to decrease the incidence of preterm birth. But again, we don't know all the reasons why people are having preterm delivery. And that's a big risk factor for developmental delay. But this is a big complicated problem that we don't yet know how to fully understand or fully change. So the numbers just keep increasing.
Well, we know that identifying developmental delays earlier can make a huge difference in health outcomes later in life as well. What kind of difference are we talking about here?
Yeah, so we know that if you give targeted interventions to kids, you can see improvements in their movement, in their problem solving, in their thinking, and in their language outcomes, right? So, and social emotional as well. So all of these domains can be impacted. The first 2 years of life are a really critical time to get to kids because that is when your brain is most amenable to change. We have all these connections. There's all this opportunity for plasticity. So we want to take advantage of that. So that's why this idea of getting in as early as possible is important. So I tell people to think about it like if you had a stroke or someone you love has a stroke, would you want to wait 3 months to get treatment? Would you want to wait a year to get treatment? No, because the evidence shows that if we start earlier, you're going to show the most gains in that early part of your rehab, right? So it's the same thing for these kids. It's harder to identify. And, you know, in the case of an adult with a stroke, it's easier to identify what has happened. For our kids, it's harder to figure out if they're going to be delayed. But the earliest possible time point we can do that and give them intervention, the better it is for their future outcomes.
What kind of impact can spotting a given delay have on us down the line?
That's an interesting question because I think about it. If you train for a marathon this year and then you don't run for 10 years, you're not going to be able to pick up and run a marathon. So this is a part of a cascading process, right? So it's this idea of starting the intervention early, right? We can start interventions and we see immediate effects. We often don't see, if you wait till years later, you know, that those effects stay if you haven't continued to give children supports. So that is an important part of the process, you know, starting early and continuing. There are sort of these follow-up studies, for example, to early Head Start. They show really nice benefits early on, but then at college age, you might not see differences in college enrollment or earnings for kids if they were in early Head Start. But that's kind of an unfair comparison to look at an intervention that's provided before age five and then expect if you put children back into situations where they don't have the same level of support that over a decade later, you might still see that they're doing great, right? So it's this idea of if these children have socioeconomic risk factors or medical risk factors, we might continually need to give them supports to see outcomes. But when we start early, we do see really nice benefits. And those benefits can last up to a year or a few years later. There are some studies even for things like skin-to-skin contact in the NICU can lead to benefits 10 years later. If you look 20 years later, I'm not sure you would see it. So it's this idea of starting early and then starting strong, right?
Let's take a closer look at the smart baby monitor you're creating with the NIH Small Business Innovation Research Grant. Walk us through the ins and outs of the monitor. How does it exactly work and what stage of the creation process is it in?
Yeah, so we have a very user-centered design model. That means that we don't want to just make something and then put it out there for people. We want to make sure that we're talking to everyone that would be a part of using it and designing it the way that they would actually like it to be. So we're in the stages now where we have the idea for the product. We know what we might like it to do, but we are working with ChristianaCare to talk to families of kids who might be at risk for delays. We are talking to pediatricians and other primary care providers because we want to figure out how we can make this so that it's easy for parents to use. It's something acceptable to them because you're talking about video and, you know, compiling information from video, securely sharing it with their doctors. How can we make them most secure in that process and make it easy for them to use at home? And then how can we put together the information for the pediatricians in a way that is easy for them in their busy schedules to get out what they would like to get out from it? So that is the stage that we're at right now. We're also working with Shishir Shah, who is at the University of Houston. And he is helping us. He's the chair of computer science, and he's working with video to see, can we pick out accurately some of the things that we'd like to pick out? Because you think, what would I look at for a child to figure out if they're delayed? So, for instance, in the area of physical delay, very early on, there are some indicators that parents and others might not know about, right? Like opening and closing your hands, having that control, being able to move your head against gravity so that when you're on your back, you can look straight ahead, being able to lift your body up against gravity. These are some very, very early abilities that if they are not present and kids aren't doing them consistently, or things like moving both sides of the body, if we're not seeing those things, that can be a very early marker of concern, right? And then the same thing with language a little bit later in development. If we're not hearing babies coo, we're not hearing babies babble, then this computer vision could look at the video and say, oh, this is how often I'm seeing these things, or I'm not seeing these things enough. Provide that information to the doctor, and the doctor can get a good idea about how the baby's doing and if that matches what would be expected for this age.
How did the ball originally get rolling on the idea and creating the monitor?
Yeah, so I was working with folks at ChristianaCare, and they had a collaborator, Tony Ma and Katie Chang at Benten Technologies, and I needed someone to create a platform for an educational program. So we got to know each other that way in talking about having a platform, and then we were thinking about other ways that we could address this problem of under-identification. So, you know, most kids are monitored through their well visits, and that's how we find out if you have a developmental delay. And for doctors, that's a big challenge because at this well visit, they have to make sure you're staying alive and healthy, check all your systems, give you your vaccines, give parents education. A lot has to happen in there, right? And on top of all that, they have to figure out in a span of just the few minutes that are left over if a child is on target developmentally. That is an unrealistic expectation to place on anybody. When we look at development, you have to see kids across different contexts and longer periods of time to really get an understanding of how they're doing. So, what ends up happening is most pediatricians and primary care providers are not wanting to overburden families, not wanting to overstress families, not wanting to overburden the system. So rather than over-identifying people, there's often this idea of, well, let's just wait and see. What that results in is that in the first couple of years of life, we're significantly under-identifying kids that need early intervention. So the data suggests that about 90% of the families that would benefit from early intervention for developmental delays are not in the system receiving it. So then we were brainstorming how else could we approach this problem besides educating parents about providing better experiences for their kids every day. Another way might be to support the primary care providers by providing them with some more information about development so they're not having just a very limited amount of information to make such an important decision, but they can have more information about what kids are actually doing every day in their natural environment, and using that information to then make a better, earlier informed decision about referrals for early intervention.
Thanks to UD Associate Professor and Pediatric Physical Therapist Michelle Lobo, and our Joe Irizarry for joining us on The Green this week. And we wrap up The Green next with a visit to Old Town Hall in Wilmington to check out the Harriet Tubman Underground Railroad Byway Exhibition. This is The Green on Delaware Public Media.